Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, June 14th, 2018. We'll start with a story titled, We Just Like to Play, Band Provides Free Concerts for 78 Years. This is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville, and there's a picture of principal flutist Dottie DeTorres performs a solo during the Memorial Day ceremony at Danville National Cemetery. People who say there's nothing to do in Danville aren't looking hard enough. Take the Danville Municipal Band, for example. The musicians present concerts free in Lincoln Park for part of the summer. There's so much talent in this town, said Josh Compton, principal percussionist in the band and board member. People might want to get away from the TV and electronics and come out to enjoy a concert, he said. Some people have the misconception that the concerts draw an older audience and that the tunes are sedate. However, both Compton and director David Schroeder said the audience is made up of a variety of ages, including families with children, and the music ranges from classical to rock. Only four are left this season, and then there's a Christmas concert in December. The next concert will be at 7 p.m. on Sunday at St. James United Methodist Church, not Lincoln Park, due to a scheduling conflict. The next three will be at Lincoln Park. In case of rain, the concerts are moved to St. James. What's special about the band's concerts, Compton said, is that they're fun and the musicians have a good time. The municipal band, which has 501c3 status, gets $10,000 a year from the city to cover six concerts and six rehearsals. The money is divided among the approximately 50 musicians, but some don't accept the stipend, and whatever is left over goes to expenses. Schroeder said the money doesn't go very far. The band's equipment is getting old, such as the timpani, and the trailer used to haul the equipment is aging as well. The band also could use new chairs and music holders. The percussion equipment is owned by the band, while the musicians bring their own instruments. For the past 4 to 5 years, Full Fill Industries in Henning has supported the Christmas concert at St. James. The band's board is actively seeking businesses or corporate sponsors so the season can be extended. Schroeder said the band's last couple of concerts have been aired live on Facebook. He learned later that a couple of the United Kingdom, who used to live there, got up at 1:30 a.m. to watch the concert live, and people in Seattle also tuned in. It's another little thing to put Danville on the map in a positive light, he said. The band is in its 78th season, having started in 1940 when a tax was levied to support it. The season ran from Memorial Day to Labor Day, with concerts twice a week in Douglas Park on Thursdays and in Lincoln on Sundays. In the 1980s, Alvin Haas was instrumental in getting a stage built at Lincoln, and the city later put a partial roof on it. That roof not only protects the band from the weather, but it helps the acoustics. Schroeder said the people from two or three blocks away say they listen to the concerts from their homes. When he started as director 25 years ago, taking over from Tom Harrigan, the budget was $30,000 for two concerts a week from May to September. The city lowered the amount during its budget process in 2010, resulting in a shorter season. Still, Schroeder said, we're thankful Mayor Eisenhower and the city council felt compelled to continue the history. It means a lot. The concerts not only provide enjoyment to the community, but the band serves as a teaching aid for the younger musicians, some of whom are in high school. The band also gives adults a chance to play and stay in shape musically. For a lot of people, this is the only chance they get to play, Compton said. Some are current or retired music teachers. Some play more than one instrument. Some come from a distance, such as a man who drives in from Watsika. Several are in church choirs or worship groups. The band has just one rehearsal on Thursdays. The rest of the week, they practice on their own and also should be able to sight read the music. We have such a good group, Compton said. They're flexible. They can roll with it. As for his own 10-year tenure with the band, Compton said, I love the people. A lot of members have been around for a while, and there's a lot of turnover. It's a great family. And he said, it's just a lot of fun. It's easygoing. People are there to have fun. His wife, Mayan, plays the flute in the band, and there are other combinations of relatives in the band. The band also performs at the Memorial Day ceremony at the Danville National Cemetery at no charge. We feel strongly about that, Schroeder said. We want to give back to those who made the ultimate sacrifice so we can play our music. Schroeder and Compton are active musically around town. For example, they will play with the North Street Soul during Soul Fest this weekend. Schroeder is music director or plays the organ for several churches, including his home church of Trinity Lutheran, as well as Holy Family Catholic Church and the Contemporary Service at First Presbyterian. Schroeder also directs the Vermilion Festival Chorus. Schroeder said he said the band is willing to play outside of Danville for a fee. We just like to play, Compton added. FYI, learn more and watch videos of the concerts at www.facebook.com/Danville-municipal-band. The band is available to play in area towns for a fee. Email director David Schroeder at bandguy59@comcast.net for more information. The schedule, June 17th at 7 p.m. at St. James United Methodist Church, Father's Day theme. June 24th is at 6:30 p.m. in Lincoln Park during Arts in the Park, featuring marches, show tunes, and more. July 1st is at 7 p.m. at Lincoln Park, featuring patriotic music. Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower will narrate a couple of numbers. And on July 8th at 7 p.m. at Lincoln Park, Rock Show 2 with upbeat music from the 60s through the 80s, including Africa. Next story is titled Judge OK's Referendum for Ballot, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Now, the third part of the campaign starts for the group Moving Danville Forward, convincing people why a change in the form of government would be good for Danville. Judge Mitchell K. Schick, a Charleston judge, presided Wednesday morning at a short petition hearing at the Vermilion County Courthouse and granted the petition to approve sufficiency of petitions and signatures and to direct the referendum question be placed on the ballot for the November 6th general election. The question will read, shall the City of Danville, Illinois adopt the managerial form of municipal government and continue to elect aldermen from wards? There still would be 14 aldermen, but the elected mayor position would be part-time and the city council would hire a full-time city manager to handle the city's finances and day-to-day operations. Schick ruled the petitions were of correct form and included the needed number of signatures for the question to be submitted to the Danville Election Commission office to be placed on the ballot. Attorney James Mulvaney presented the petition. Petitioning the court were Doug Ahrens, Gail Brandon, Sybil Mervis, Jerry Askren, Nancy O'Kane, and Pat O'Shaughnessy, all whom are present at the hearing. They are members of the committee Moving Danville Forward to support adoption of a city manager form of government for Danville. Schick said he reviewed the file of paperwork and affidavits. He also heard from one witness, O'Shaughnessy, who about the petition and it having a 704 valid elector signatures of the needed 551 signatures. O'Shaughnessy said Danville Election Commission Executive Director Sandra Delhay also had reviewed the signatures. The committee had 748 signatures in total, but some were stricken due to the person not living in Danville, persons not being registered voters, and persons living at a different address. O'Shaughnessy said that they had a timeline to get the question to the Election Commission by July. I think all of the requirements of the law have been followed, Mulvaney said. There was no cross-examination from Corporation Counsel David Wessner for the city at the hearing. Schick ruled this question and petitions with signatures were in proper form and in compliance with statutes for the question to be placed on the ballot. Following the hearing, notice was given to city officials and general electors. The next public informational meeting by the Moving Danville Forward group will be at 6:30 p.m. on Monday at Danville Area Community College's Bremer Conference Center Theater. Speakers will be Streeter's Mayor Jimmy Lansford and City Manager Scott Wrighton to talk about how the positions work together in their city of about 14,000 people. "It's been a long time coming," O'Shaughnessy said, about the petition hearing and getting the referendum on the ballot. He said it was in 1926 as to last time voters could vote on what type of leader would represent the city. This was the commissioner form of government. It was a 1987 civil rights lawsuit that changed the city's form of government to Mayor Aldermanic to have fair representation of races. O'Shaughnessy said the committee initially worked to get the signatures needed to place the question on the ballot, now has gotten the questions on the ballot, and the third part of the campaign is the committee continuing to have public meetings, and members will be going door to door to talk to residents about why it supports the change. He said when getting signatures, he's been talking to people for 5 to 35 minutes in their garages about the referendum. The group also set up the website www.movingdanvilleforward.com to provide information. "It's exciting," O'Shaughnessy said, adding that he believes the change will improve the financial stability of the city. The Citizens Against Change of the City of Danville Local Form of Government Committee is concerned about the government change diminishing citizens' power and voices and residents not having the same representation. Next story is titled "Oakwood Prepares for First Stoplight," and this is written by Carol. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. K. Ann Franklin, 61, of rural Williamsport, Indiana, passed away June 11th at her residence after a brief illness. Funeral service will be at 4 p.m. EDT time Monday, June 18th in Shelby Funeral Home of Covington, Indiana. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. EDT time at the funeral home. The family requests memorials be made to the Humane Society with envelopes available at the funeral home. Sharon M. Alcorn Weidenburner O'Daffer, 76, of Seymour, Indiana, passed into the loving arms of Jesus at 11 a.m. EDT time Monday, June 11th, at her home with her family by her side. A celebration of Sharon's life will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday, June 16th, at Sunset Houghton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be from noon to 2 Saturday prior to the service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Crown Hill Cemetery in Ridge Farm. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Schneck Home Services Hospice of Seymour, Indiana. Connie Ann Reynolds, 67, formerly of Attica, Indiana, and had been residing in Danville, Illinois, passed away at 9:25 p.m. Wednesday, June 6th, in the emergency room of OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart in Danville. A memorial graveside service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 16th, in Riverside Cemetery in Attica. Condolences to www.massfuneralhome.com. Maria Hughes Winkler, 71, of Catlin, Illinois, passed away at 9:30 p.m. Sunday, June 10th, at her home. Funeral services at 10:30 a.m. Friday, June 15th, at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Pastor Zach LaCrone officiating. Burial at Stern Cemetery in Fithian. Visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 14th, at Robeson Chapel. Memorials to Transition Hospice. Ronald L. Hulls, 63, of Danville, passed away suddenly Tuesday, June 12th, in the emergency room at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Ronnie's life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, June 16th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating the service will be Jim Russell. A visitation will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, June 15th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in All Hands Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made on his behalf to Murray Developmental in Centralia, Illinois, or the Bismarck Lucky Clovers 4-H Club. And Paul James Robertson, 90, of Danville, passed away on Sunday, June 10th, at home, surrounded by his family. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon on Friday, June 15th, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, with service to follow at noon with Joe Humrish officiating. Burial will follow at Newman Cemetery. Okay, the next story is titled Daytime Home for Those Without. It's called The Dwelling Place. Goal is to be open drop-in center by end of 2019. This is written by a Noel McGee in Danville. While homeless men and women have a few places in Vermilion County they can rest their heads at night, there's no place they can go during the day on a regular basis, at least no place they feel welcome. A local group hopes to change that. For the past year or so, board members of the Dwelling Place of Vermilion County have been laying the groundwork for a daytime drop-in center in Danville where people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness can connect with other members of the community and opportunities to improve their lives. The Dwelling Place will provide a safe place for our friends without an address and a place where they'll feel welcome and accepted for who they are, Board President Patsy Jones said, adding that they hope to have the center up and running and a director and volunteers in place by the end of 2019. We've done all the paperwork. We've done all of our due diligence, added Vice President and Treasurer Nancy O'Kane. Now we're ready to actively seek partners and funding to bring this to fruition and bring to Danville and Vermilion County what's needed. Meantime, the group has already established essentially basic what members are calling the county's first pantry, offering personal hygiene and household care products for those in need. So far, it has distributed more than 2,000 hygiene products, clothing, and food items to those in need, much of it on the members' dime, the group says. On any given day, an average of 100 people are homeless in the county, according to the Illinois Department of Employment Security. And the Census Bureau estimates that more than 15,000, or 22.2% of county residents, are at risk of becoming homeless. We were very concerned about this, and we wanted to do something, said Board Secretary Donna Eddington, who added that the group quietly formed in April of 2017, then incorporated as a charitable organization last October. Jones said she was inspired to establish a daytime shelter by her friend Melanie Jackson, the founder and former executive director of CU at Home, which operates the Phoenix Drop-In Center in Champaign. CU at Home officials helped the Danville Board develop its mission statement and offered guidance on planning and organizing. Like the Phoenix Center, the Dwelling Place also is meant to serve as a place where folks could come in off the street and take refuge from bad weather, get a snack, take a shower, and use the laundry facilities, play cards or a board game with others, talk to people who can connect them to local resources, or just provide companionship and hope, and use a computer to search for a job or educational opportunities at Danville Area Community College, or connect with friends or relatives through email or social media. We want it to be a welcoming environment and a non-judgmental environment, Eddington said, adding all people will be treated with dignity, respect, and compassion. Down the road, we're wanting to offer scholarships to help them complete DACC courses that will provide them with job skills and certification. The board, which includes Ricky Boos, the Rescue Mission's Assistant Director, Carla Boyd, DACC's Assistant Dean of Student Services, Chief Diversity Officer, Tim Killug, a retired manufacturing engineer, Eileen Turner, a retired government property manager and teacher, and the Reverend Steve Perkins, pastor of the Allen Chapel AME Church, currently is searching for a facility, preferably in the greater downtown area and on a bus line. Members hope to partner with businesses, churches, and individuals to obtain a site, make any necessary renovations, and sustain the center going forward. Hopefully God will intervene and someone will provide a place for us, Jones said. The group is also gearing up for its first fundraiser set for August, where they'll raffle off a $1,000 gift card and two $100 gift cards from Myers. Members said they continue to collect and distribute hygiene and household care products to the homeless and low-income people. We've spent a lot of time talking to individuals and listening to their stories, Eddington said. We know that hygiene products are usually at the very bottom of the priority list. We've also learned there's a great need for these products in the schools. There are children in our schools that miss school because they do not have them. The group is currently collecting products for participants in Project Success summer program at Georgetown Ridge Farm Schools. It will hold collections for students in other communities in the future. We need body wash, shampoo, toothbrushes, toothpaste, combs, brushes, deodorant, feminine products, Eddington said. Dish soap, disinfectant wipes, laundry detergent. We're asking for laundry soap pods because they're lightweight and easy to carry. We're also asking for full-size products that will provide them with months' worth of use. Okay, next we'll read a sports story. New Players Boost the Dans, written by Marvin Holman in Springfield, actually. State Fuller and Damian Pierce made the most of their first game in Danville Dans uniform. With the Dans down 3-0 going into the sixth inning, Fuller would tie things up with a two-run home run, while Pierce had the go-ahead RBI double as Danville would go on to beat the Springfield Sliders 8-3. For Fuller, who hit a walk-off home run for LSU Eunice to win the NJCAA Division II baseball championship, he started his prospect league career where he left off, while Pierce, who was a part of the Parkland team who lost to LSU Eunice, put the team ahead for good. We give them a night off before they started to play, and they were good out there, Dan's manager, Eric Coleman, said. It was great to see them go out in their first game and for Damian, it was a return home for him, so he had people cheering for him. After starter Blake Malastinic left in the fourth inning, Blake Schilecki got in and gave up only one hit and struck out 7 in 5 innings to go 2-0 for the season. Blake did a great job in coming in, and Cody Hawthorne got a big strikeout to get the last out, Coleman said. That's always our goal, to get to the bullpen, because they have been such a strong unit. The Sliders struck first with a home run by Adam Lopez in the second inning. An error by Danville's Colin Gordon brought in another run in the third, and Lee Poteet scored on a wild pitch. It was a wild pitch that started the scoring for Danville, as Zach Huffins was able to score on one. Gavin Dugas was hit by a pitch, which led to Fuller's home run. Sometimes things can snowball, and that was what happened here, Coleman said. We still have to work on our timely hitting, but we were able to come out and have everyone except one get a hit tonight. Kobe Cato gave the Dans another run in the seventh inning with a single that brought home Blake Powell. Cato would drive in two more in the ninth on a double, which drove in Powell and Dugas. Pierce would drive in Cato to finish the scoring. Cato, Pierce, and Huffins each had two hits for the Dans, who had 11 hits as a team. The Dans are 8-5 and are a half game behind the Terre Haute Rex in the West Division, as both teams will face each other tonight at Bob Warren Stadium in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's still early in the season, and we still have some guys still coming in, so we consider this a business trip, Coleman said. We have a tight-knit team and love what we are doing, so I think we can go out there and make the most of the business trip. Well, it's kind of a slow news day, so we'll go through some community briefs here. In Danville, the concert is set for New Kingdom Christian Church at 430 Love Street. We'll host a gospel concert at 7 p.m. on Saturday featuring Pastor Lekavi Johnson and Genesis of Champaign, along with the Spiritualists for Indianapolis. For information, call 443-9186 or 446-6532. The Danville Public Library will show Nebraska at 2 p.m. on Monday in the first floor meeting room. Refreshments start at 1:30 p.m. Neighbors to Meet, the Holiday Hills Neighborhood Association, meets at 5:45 p.m. today at Family Church at Holiday Hills at 1700 North Bowman Avenue. Contact John Benitati at 260-2149. That is spelled Beninati. Basketball camp, Shooting Stars basketball camp, will be from 1 to 4 p.m. on June 25th through the 27th at Schlarman Academy. The camp is open to boys and girls in grades 4 through 8. To register, visit shootingstarsstrainandplay.com. And in Georgetown, a cookout. Georgetown Church of Nazarene will host a cookout and movie for Father's Day at 5 from 5 to 8 p.m. on Sunday. The movie, I can only imagine, will be shown in the Fellowship Hall. Games and food start before the movie. All are welcome. For more information, call 217-662-8156. And I went and seen that movie, and it's a very good movie. And there's a correction. The Vermilion County Rape Crisis Center will sponsor a workshop about child abuse from 9 to 12:30 p.m. on Friday at Bremer Conference Center at Danville Area Community College. The day was incorrect in the headlines on Wednesday. And there's a picture in the paper with a little little story about air conditioners donated. Ameren, Illinois announced Wednesday a donation of 50 Energy Star rated window air conditioners to the East Central Illinois Community Action Agency. As part of the donation event, Ameren, Illinois employee volunteers delivered the units to the agency and loaded air conditioners into the vehicles of several clients. Over the next few weeks, East Central Illinois Community Action will distribute the remaining air conditioners to local families and individuals who meet low-income home energy assistance program, known as LIHEAP, guidelines, including veterans and those with disabilities, according to a release. In this photo, Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower is on the left, and he's speaking at an Ameren, Illinois booth. So now we'll run through the calendar of events for the day. Around, let's see, in Danville, focus on children and families from 10 to noon at the first floor meeting room in Danville Public Library at 319 North Vermilion Street. And at noon, the Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. Ounce of Prevention Illinois Breakthrough 3 Institute is from 4 to 6 p.m. in the Center for Children's Services at 702 North Logan Avenue. Danville Historic Preservation Commission is at 5 p.m. at Danville Municipal Building at 17 West Main Street. And Holiday Hills Neighborhood Association is at 6 p.m. Holiday Hills Community Church at 1700 North Bowman Avenue. Narcotics Anonymous is at 9 a.m. at New Directions at 153 North Vermilion Street, and then at 5:45 p.m. at Prairie Center at 1222 East Voorhees Street. Alcoholics Anonymous is at the ACES building at 119 North Vermilion Street. And Danville Area Family Child Care Association is from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Vermilion County Health Department at 200 College Street. The Lynch Area Fire Protection District is at 7 p.m. at Station 2 at 334 East 14th Street in Tilton. Stone Arch Bridge Association is at 7 p.m. at 111 South Buchanan Street. Danville Chapter 854 Order of Eastern Star is at 7:30 at Masonic Center at 109 West North Street. And at Bismarck, Bismarck Community Fire Protection District is at 7 p.m. at the Fireman's Hall. And the Bismarck Men's Club is at 7:30 at the Men's Club. And in Georgetown, the Fire Protection District is at 6:30 p.m. at the fire station, and the Georgetown Ladies Community Club at 7 p.m. at Georgetown Public Library. It's always on the second Thursday, it says. And in Potomac, the Bluegrass Fire Protection District is at 7 p.m. at 14 Station 1. So anyway, that'll be it for today, Thursday, June 14th, 2018. I hope you have a good week. It's going to be hot this weekend. I hope everybody, all you fathers, have a good Father's Day. Hopefully I'll see you again next week and try to stay cool. Have a good day.